Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello everyone, hello football fans around the world, welcome to the Squawker Talker. It's the first of our pre-season specials. We're talking about Manchester United today. They've brought in Mourinho, they've brought in Ibra, they've almost brought in Pogba. I'm joined today by Mohamed Butt, our features writer. Hello Mo.
Hey Nick.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well.
It's going well. Also joining us is Greg Johnson, features editor. Hello Greg.
Hello.
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 Fantastic. Greg Stobart's also here. Hello Stobes.
Hello Nick.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I've just been away, so.
Yeah, where have you been?
I'm not looking very tan, though, am I?
No, you're not.
No.
You're not. No. Where were you?
Lake Como.
Lovely.
Yeah, I was in Italy, so yeah. Doing a bit of Pogba chasing.
Yeah, sort out the transfer once and for all. Okay, let's get straight into it. First things first, Greg, got to talk about the Community Shield. Community Shield, another 16th for Man United, I believe, now.
But yeah, record holders and all those kind of things.
Decent performance, solid last-minute goal from Ibra, man-of-the-match performance from Eric Bailly, all pretty positive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all right. It was a lot of negatives as well. Don't want to be a massive downer, but Wayne Rooney, what is going on there? It was just, you know, I think if you wanted an example of what could have gone wrong if Mourinho trying to force Rooney into this side, you kind of got it there. The positives, obviously, were Jesse Lingard. He was great again at Wembley. Wes Morgan should have done much better for his goal, but he still took the ball past four people and put the ball in the back of the net, and it was really great goal. So you can't really take anything away from him. And yeah, Ibra got the last minute winner or whatever it was. It wasn't last minute, but it was late. So yeah, it's great.
Mo, would you agree with that? It's just as kind of after the turmoil of Man United's pre-season, that they needed something, they needed a good marker down, and that was it yesterday. They got the first win in the bag. Everyone's feeling quite positive, good morale around the club.
Yeah, first game, first win, first title. It's all pretty standard for Mourinho, he would say. But no, the preseason tour was a shambles. And I mean, Mourinho's probably the first person to say that. So it was very important they didn't screw this up against Leicester. And it was, you know, as much as Leicester are not the force they were without N'Golo Kante, and you know, now that everyone's paying attention to them, they still had moments yesterday where they looked like they might have hurt United. It was really important to get the win. Zlatan showing up at the last minute to 81st minute to rescue the side was just so typically Zlatan. You know, he'd struggled all day because Wayne Rooney just moves even slower than he does, even though he's 4 years younger. So he didn't have the movement around to really excel. He didn't really play well, but then still, as Zlatan always does, showed up right at the last minute for the key win. Get the win. Yeah, I agree with Greg. Jesse Lingard played really well too, and Eric Bailly was a monster.
I just think Ibrahimovic looks like the 30-year-old Premier League veteran striker, and Wayne Rooney looks like the 34-year-old who's passed it. Like,
we're not going to let every point go back to Wayne Rooney.
No, of course not, but he is sticking out like a sore thumb at the moment.
He was spectacularly terrible.
Stobes, it's Community Shield. It's not the biggest, you know. There's a lot of fans saying, well, you know, it's great to get this win under the belt. Mourinho will be really happy for this. It's really important for him to get some momentum going after that awful pre-season tour of China. That really was a bit of a shambles, wasn't it, for the club?
Yeah, I mean, and with the Community Shield, Mourinho still counts it as a trophy, doesn't he? He always does.
Oh, yeah.
He was very, you know, the one matter substitution told you that he wanted to win that, yeah. Didn't he? Which we should talk about, by the way.
Yeah, we should. We should.
Yeah, it's been a bad one. I mean, I saw Mourinho's press conference and he said he was expecting the players to fall off in the second half as they did because they're not fit enough. And that's because they've had this shambolic pre-season, as Mo mentioned before. I mean, the China game, the game cancelled about against Manchester City, the heat, the players coming back from the Euros as well. It's not been ideal for United, but I think they should be okay because I think their first five games aren't too bad. Off the top of my head, Bournemouth, Southampton, Crystal Palace. They've got Tottenham in there, which will be a tough one. But I think actually United's fixture list means they've got a bit of time to build up that sharpness and fitness without too much damage being done to their season.
I mean, I know we're going to come on to it later on, but I kind of feel like pre-season is completely meaningless because the big signing that they've been waiting to land has only just come in, and now they've done all their friendlies, they've done the Charity Shield. Like, how is Paul Pogba going to play in this team? Surely he's the guy you want to build around, and you know they haven't played with him, so it all seems a bit meaningless. It seems like pre-season was just a bit of a, you know, almost like a screensaver for the real event, really.
Well, let's discuss Paul Pogba because and the transfers around United in general, because, I mean, it's hard to remember a better transfer window for a club, pretty
Pogba,
much.
Pogba.
let's start with Paul Pogba. That is the one that everyone is talking about. I mean, such an incredible signing for Manchester United. Such an incredibly talented player. It remains to see how he's going to fit in with the club, but the hype is, I mean, off the scale doesn't
the
quite
hype,
describe
the hype
it.
Is real.
The hype is
the
real.
The hype is on fire, in our faces, screaming at us, you know, Pogba! You know, it's like those Gabbo adverts from the Simpsons episode, you know, just Gabbo, Gabbo, Gabbo.
Yeah.
Pogba is an incredible, incredible talent, probably after Neymar, the best under-25 talent in the world.
Only after Neymar.
The player you would want to build around the most. It's a brilliant coup. Marketing standpoint, he's Adidas. He's going to be the face of Adidas in 4 years when Nomio falls off. So, you know, it's a brilliant bit of science. It's a huge, enormous amount of money, but United have the money. United will make that money back, not from shirt sales, but through marketing him and through just marketing themselves with Pogba now in the side.
Greg Stobes, even. He's got two Gregs. Stobes, I mean, there's been a bit of confusion over the figures around the Pogba deal. What exactly are the financials of that? You're the chief reporter. You're the man in the mo. You've been to Lake Como.
And I found out, actually, it's...
Lake Como.
We'll do it in euros. It's 105 million euro fee paid from United to Juventus. That's about £89 million, plus another 5 million... in potential add-ons, that's about £4.3 million. On top of that, United are paying Mino Raiola. So Juventus are getting that's siphoned off. On top of that, United are paying Mino Raiola's fee. Raiola had a sell-on, 20% sell-on in the contract that Pogba signed in 2014. I'd be told that United were trying to negotiate that down because in theory that would be worth about £18 to £19 million.
Staggering.
I think Ed Woodward's been trying to negotiate. I'd imagine it'll still be an awful lot of money. It'll be £10 million plus, but... on top of that, they're paying that, and Pogba will sign a 5-year contract, which after bonuses, he wanted to be. He said, if you're going to make me the world record transfer, you've got to make me the best paid player at the club, or at least joint best player. So he's earning the same as Wayne Rooney, which is £300,000 a week after including bonuses. So I think the bonuses are pretty substantial, but £300,000 a week is the value of the contract.
Paul Pogba was named the youngest player since Lionel Messi in 2009 in FIFA Pro's Team of the Year. Greg, is he worthy of a world record transfer? Is he worthy of being placed in that bracket?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we named him Squawker 23/23 winner in February as well, and we actually said at the time he's going to be the guy who smashes the 9-figure barrier. I mean, maybe he hasn't done that in direct transfer fees, but you can almost see Mino Raiola's fee as like being a third party.
Well, he did in Euros, didn't he, technically?
Yeah. But so did Bale in Euros, if you're going to cut it out that way. But I think that, you know, Pogba's just fantastic. I mean, the big worry from a United perspective is how he's going to fit into what Mourinho wants to do at the club. You'd hope, given having spent the money they have on him, that they're going to give him the platform to do what he does best. I mean, United are a club that they love to give individuals worth the kind of attention, the platform to express themselves. You've got Cantona, to even Van Persie recently, and Di Maria as well before it all went wrong there. And I think the Di Maria role is actually kind of what they should be looking to do. Give him a free role in midfield, pack a three-man midfield around him. Just let him at games. Just let him go at it. He's got everything. He's got absolutely everything. Just he's got the most assists, joint most assists in Serie A last season. He scored more goals from outside the box in Serie A since he joined Juventus 4 years ago. I mean, just let him at the Premier League and see what happens.
It's a good point, Mo. Who should play alongside Pogba? Because they need to provide the right foil for this extraordinary talented player to express himself.
I would agree with you. First off, there should be two people besides Pogba. It shouldn't be one. It will be one to start with because he who shall not be named must play. So Wayne...
you can definitely name him.
So Pogba will play. I mean, Mourinho said as much. I want him to play as the midfielder, not the most advanced midfielder of the three, not the number 10, but the one who makes runs beyond the number 10 and then defends like a six. I mean, which is basically describing a box-to-box midfielder. And I think he's basically also making an excuse there for the fact that he's going to play him as in the double pivot of a 4-2-3-1, which is not his best position, but whatever. Who should play beside him? It depends on the game, depends on the opponent. In the 4-2-3-1, if they're playing a side who, you know, are not going to come at them really physically, really hard, it should be Ander Herrera. Ander Herrera will maximise Paul Pogba's ability to pass the ball, to build a rhythm, to control a game. He will help him do that, and he'll help him move forward and make up for the fact that Wayne Rooney can't really do anything with a football except cross-field passes. So it will it will really help if it's a more difficult away game. If you're playing Arsenal away or City away, maybe you put in Morgan Schneiderlin just to be a stopper. I mean, Schneiderlin's not really lived up to his billing, frankly, at United so far. But maybe Mourinho can get the best out of him. You know, it's
so the ideal three, in your opinion, would be Pogba, Herrera, Schneiderlin.
Of the players United have, yeah, or frankly, Pogba, Herrera, and Michael Carrick, who I think is he has limitations.
Underrated.
I think he's underrated now. I think he's fairly rated. He has limitations, but what he can do is offset by the what he can't do. Sorry, is offset by the energy of Pogba and Herrera.
Okay,
it's not just Pogba that needs a three-man midfield. I mean, Mo's, I would say, give an optimistic review of the potential partners in the two-man midfield there. I mean, I look at the options and I just see problems. Like, Carrick, he's too old, he's too slow, he's too immobile. You want him as the sitter in a three. Herrera, he's just not a defensive midfielder like Matic was for Fabregas in the last team where Mourinho played this kind of system. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Schneiderlin, he's just lackluster, he's limited, he's not really up to the standard you expect. And I mean, what are you going to do? Fellaini and Pogba? That's just a disaster, isn't it? I mean, United,
I'd watch that.
United are not set up for a two-man midfield. They need to play a 4-3-3 or just don't bother.
That's fair enough. Let's focus on the other transfers that Man United made, Stobes. By all accounts, they had four targets. They got their first choice in every single category. I mean, Zlatan, McTerian, Pogba, they've got the job lot. Were they in for any other players?
I don't know. I don't think Bailly was their very first choice. It caught us all a bit by surprise, I think. Mourinho,
he's looked great, though.
If Mourinho had a choice, I think he would have gone for Rafael Varane first. Yeah. But blimey, like we were saying before, lads, he looks real proper. And it's a good balance because you've got Zlatan's experience and the goals that he'll bring, especially when you've got young Marcus Rashford there. You've got Mkhitaryan, who's in his prime and is capable of 20 assists and 20 goals in a season. Mm-hmm. And you've got Eric Bailly, who looks like he could be one of the best young centre-backs in the world. So building on that, I don't think United will win the league this season, I've got to say, but there's a lot to build on for the next couple of years for Mourinho.
Mo, is there anyone else that should be on the shopping list for Man United? They've made four signings all up and down the pitch. Is there anything else they really need?
Yeah, absolutely, a right back and a central defender. Okay. You look at the Community Shield and Eric Bailly was, I mean, he had a couple of moments where he dove in a bit too rashly, but by and large, he was fantastic. Jamie Vardy repeatedly tried to muscle him and he just couldn't get any traction. And then Luke Shaw was a colossus. You didn't see Riyad Mahrez the entire game. Luke Shaw
just, right in his back pocket, wasn't he?
Just completely shut him down. I mean, this is what United fans have been dreaming about. Luke Shaw, fit, and just this is how good he is. It's gone under the radar because he's been injured. He's ridiculously good. But then the other two players, I mean, Daley Blind, he did a workmanlike job. He's a good defender. If he had even a lick of physicality, he'd be world class. But he doesn't have that. So you got to sign an experienced centre half next to Bailly to marshal him, like Victor Ruiz did last season for Villarreal. So I'm thinking someone like Jose Font, Ezequiel Garay, maybe not even experienced. Maybe you go for Mustafi. You know, Valencia desperate to sell him. He would cost, I think, £21 million. Yeah. Not a lot of money for a 24-year-old who's that good and that good at organising defences. I mean, who do you think made Nico Otamendi look really sensible at Valencia? Because it wasn't Nico Otamendi himself.
you're not backing Chris Smalling or Phil Jones to have the big breakthrough.
Phil Jones can do nothing except embarrass himself, and Chris Smalling. Chris Smalling is I love Chris Smalling a lot, but he's not a leader.
He's not a senior centre back.
I think you look at all of Mourinho's back twos over his entire career and every single team he's had that's actually done anything, don't think Phil Jones or Chris Smalling gets into any of them. I really don't. I mean, Chris Smalling had a good season last year, but 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 defender, isn't he? He's not really top class. No matter how hard he tries, he's always going to be backup quality for a side that's got the ambitions that United have got.
Absolutely.
Would you agree with Mo's assessment that it's right back and centre back that Man United still need an extra body in there, an extra bit of class?
I mean, Antonio Valencia, you've got to love him. He's just hanging in there and he's still making it happen.
Great
cross for the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to play wing backs, it does seem like he's going to tuck the guy on the right wing inside. You need that width. So maybe he's going to have a future under Mourinho as well. He's a soldier, isn't he, at Valencia? He does what his manager tells him. He always does the job well. He never really puts a foot wrong. He might not be the most, you know, when he goes off piece a bit, he might not know what he's doing defensively. But, you know, Van Gaal loved him because he's disciplined. Moyes liked him because he's disciplined. Even Fergie loved him because he's disciplined. That's just what he delivers. What you expect of him every single time. So, yeah, I mean, I think one thing on Blind, going back to the idea of the problem with partnering Pogba, if United did sign a more experienced defender to partner by, who I personally think is looking like he's got leadership quality already. He's not this kind of green novice people were making him out to be. I think if you get like someone like Fonte to come in and partner by, you could have Blind in midfield with Pogba. That would make more sense to me. He's almost like a Carrick with a bit more legs, isn't he? So still not ideal, but could work.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I think we're at the stage now where if United are going to do more business, they've got to ship a few out first. Yeah. I mean, Mourinho, first thing he said in his press conference is I dedicate this to the seven who didn't play. But you look at them, none of them are going to play all season, are they?
Yeah. So there's a couple of names, and we will get onto that list of names of players who really need to be shifting on. Mo, I want to talk a bit about Mourinho. Obviously, he was the first of the big signings. If you want to talk about the, you know, there's five
very
in
true,
that first
very
choices.
True.
Man United brought in Jose Mourinho. They had a very tumultuous tour of China, and he didn't seem to be... Well, he gave us a barnstorming first press conference, which was very entertaining.
Yeah.
But overall, what are your first impressions of Jose Mourinho as Manchester United manager?
It's everything I expected from Mourinho. That can be read well and negatively. It's, you know, yeah, look, immediately the team look like they believe in something. They look like someone scored against us, we'll go ahead and win the game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they look like they've got a bit of backbone. They look defensively very rigid, which can be read both negatively and positively, you know, but also, of course, there are the classic Mourinho-isms, you know, the weird things like, you know, he's going to Joe Cole Mkhitaryan, isn't he? He's going to he signs this guy, big flair player, going to add a lot of interest to the attack, plays him right wing to accommodate Wayne Rooney, then just doesn't play him at all for 20 seconds at the end of the Community Shield. You know, that kind of stuff is ridiculous.
And only playing him because he's 6'1".
Well, no, he's 5'10".
He's only 5'10".
He's 3 inches taller than Juan Mata, and that was the height difference that Mourinho was like, we have to get more height on the pitch. It's like, come on, no. Yeah, those little things that are just annoying about Mourinho. And, you know, apparently jettisoning Bastian Schweinsteiger. I mean, look, okay, fine.
Good call.
You don't want Bastian Schweinsteiger, okay, fine.
You don't stick him in the reserves and with the kids, though, do
there's
you?
Ways
it's Mourinho,
to do it.
He's an evil genius, of course.
There's ways to do it. And, you know, not trusting Tim Fosu-Mensah enough, even though Fosu-Mensah, I would have thought he was a prototypical Mourinho player with the way he plays the game. But he's been good. He's also done some bad things. He'll make United win games. It might not be pretty to watch. Yeah, if that's what you want, then that's what he's going to give you.
Greg, we're talking about a manager who had a catastrophic final season with Chelsea. I mean, nobody expected it to be that bad. And he's still got a higher Premier League win percentage than Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, Mourinho is a born winner. He's trying to instill that mentality in the squad. What are your first impressions of him and what he's trying to do with this squad?
I have no idea. The guy's a sociopath. So, what
makes you think he's a sociopath?
He smiles and cries. It's just the guy is Tony Soprano. Like, no, you can't. Every single message he puts out into the media's got about three meanings to it. You don't have a clue what he's about. He's incredibly. He takes mind games to another level. He's even playing himself sometimes. He's just absolutely. He's so deep, so complicated. I don't know where he's going. I don't know what type of football he's going to try and play. I don't kind of get his end game to some extent. Wayne Rooney, I think he's throwing love on the guy to end up selling to China next summer. I think he's playing some weird thing with Pogba at the same time, saying, no, you're going to have a platform here, but you have to prove yourself as well. And I don't know. I just think Pogba's... Mourinho's just... he's just a difficult character, basically. And I don't think he's learnt from the mistakes he made at Chelsea, really. He's going to pretend he has. And he's going to do his whole PR campaign of, you know, I only took Mata off because he's short and stuff. There's probably a bit to play out there as well. I don't know. I don't want to be negative, but Mourinho, isn't it? The guy, as I said before, he's an evil genius. He's got about 50 games going on in his head at any one time. And yeah, he's got agendas, man.
He's got agendas. Stobes, Greg touched on it briefly there. Wayne Rooney is... And we've been talking about it intermittently throughout the pod. It was a disastrous, not very strong performance. Sorry, let's be reasonable. Not very strong performance in the Community Shield. He's come off the back of a pretty bad Euros, considering he was the captain. Allegedly, he was the source of a lot of the unrest under Van Gaal, one of the senior players mentioned. I mean, Mourinho's going to have to deal with this Rooney situation. He can't pander to him if he wants to succeed. He's not scored more than 20 Premier League goals in a Premier League season since 2011-12. I mean, surely his days as an elite player are over in the Premier League.
Oh, they're long gone. There's a reason why Sir Alex Ferguson wanted to sell Rooney in his final season, and that was the missed opportunity now when you look back on it, because they had that awful summer and they ended up giving him this £300,000 a week contract under David Moyes as a PR exercise, essentially, and now they're tied down, because who's going to pay Wayne Rooney apart from, as Greg said, unless a Chinese club come in, who's going to pay him £300,000 a week? He's been awful for 2 or 3 years now. He's not got a position. He's lost that drive. I mean, he was better at 18 than he was even at 28, to be honest, when he used to put his head down. You know, you look back to Euro 2004 when he put his head down, he'd drive past defenders. That's the Wayne Rooney you want to remember. But I think part of it's lifestyle. I don't think he's looked after himself as much as the very top pros, but I think he's done, and he's not a Mourinho type of player even. I don't even understand why Mourinho's, you know, he's dumping Schweinsteiger in with the kids and not giving him a chance, but he's giving, you know, he's bending over backwards to fit Wayne Rooney into the side.
Mo, it is this thing about Rooney that it's almost like it's like a brand which just can't go away. Actually, I'm going to correct my earlier stat. It's not, he's not scored 20 plus Premier League goals in since 2011-12. It's in all competitions. He hasn't had more than 20 goal season, which is pretty bad for an elite striker at you know, supposedly such a competitive club. What are your thoughts on the Rooney situation?
He's just a disaster. He's a catastrophe. I'm sorry, you weren't harsh enough on his Community Shield performance. He was objectionable. It was like watching a drunk hobo stumble around on the field like a pitch invader had, you know, somehow managed to nab an official shirt. He was awful. He did nothing except ruin his teammates' plans. And going forward, I mean, Stobes touched on it. He was better at 18 than he was at 28 than he is now. And you look at it, it's so sad to consider that at one point, he and Cristiano Ronaldo were equals, if not Rooney was better. Rooney was a superior talent. And now look at them. Cristiano Ronaldo is coming to the end of, well, not coming to the end, but he's like entering the autumn of a career, which he's going to cross 500 league goals, 500 club goals very soon. Rooney is 38 goals off 300 club goals. There's a 200 goal gap between the two of them. And the way Rooney's playing, by the way, it will take all three of those inexplicable years left on his contract to fill those 38 goals and get to 300. He's finished.
I'm just a bit gutted, if I'm honest with you. Like, Rooney, this is going to sound incredibly emotional, personal, whatever you want to call it, but as an adult, I think Rooney's the first player I properly got into. I had a real connection to him, watching him as a fan, and it's just really sad to see what's become of him, really. He's 30 now. He should be at his prime. And when him and Ronaldo were together at United, it seemed like Ronaldo was accentuating his skills. It was very clear the kind of player he was going to become. With Rooney, he could almost become anything. He could have become a midfield controller, midfield general. He could have become a great number nine. He could have become England's greatest playmaker of the modern era. And it's just not happened. He's just basically become, as you say, like a nothing player. He's got no position. He's got no kind of clear purpose to him. And it's just, I find it really sad. I used to find him one of the most fascinating players to watch in world football, because he was strong, he was athletic, he was actually very good technically, because it was almost automatic, his technique. He would just make things happen. That goal against Newcastle where he had to go to the referee first. But also, he was tactically intelligent. Like, he was playing as a false nine, or whatever you want to call it, as a false forward, with Ronaldo coming inside, dropping inside, Tevez linking up with him from midfield as well. It was amazing to watch that strikeless formation that Fergie had when he last won the Champions League. And I look back to that and look what's happened, and it's just, I don't even know if you can blame him. Is it the pressure we put him in as the talisman of England? I don't know. That's probably the whole book in that, however. But yeah, I'm just a bit gutted for him, really. I'm gutted for him as a fan, gutted for him as a player. It's just, yeah, I don't really know what else to say about Rooney.
Greg
just
does look genuinely gutted, actually.
Yeah, I should write that book.
I don't think I've ever seen him.
It's understandable. It is, I mean, you know, as much as I criticise him, it is ultimately a tragedy what happened, because he was so special. He was very, very special, and it's sad to see him. Like, you know, there was that Nike advert where the fake future, where he was a hobo living in a
that's where he got it from.
With a beard, you know, from the beans, and then look at him now. He actually has become that.
One thing I would say, we know about Mourinho's ego. Is his ego so strong that he thinks he can make Wayne Rooney the player he used
absolutely
to be again?
Absolutely,
that'd be tremendous.
He tried to sign him at Chelsea, didn't he? Absolutely thinks I can fix Wayne Rooney.
He can't. Well,
yeah, I know you can't, but he thinks he can.
Speaking of special players, Juan Mata has contributed at least 10 combined goals and assists per Premier League season since he first joined Chelsea. The guy basically gets you goals and assists. So during the Community Shield, I know probably everyone's seen this by now, he was substituted on, then substituted off after the game. Jose Mourinho explained at length that this was because he wasn't short enough, as you alluded to earlier, Mo. Stobes, I guess we have to talk about it. Is Mourinho going to try and sell Juan Mata again, or try and get him to leave himself? I mean, he could probably do with that off the wage bill, couldn't he?
He's available for transfer, which makes... he's available for transfer, which makes what happens on Sunday even more bizarre, because it's almost like Mourinho substituted him just so he could sell him or right. It's a bit weird.
So who might be interested in Juan Mata?
Everton really want him. They made a bid about a month ago of £20 million, but Mata, as you would expect, wants to assess his options. Mm-hmm. I spoke to someone close to him about a month ago, actually. If he had a choice, he'd go back to Valencia, but I'm not sure they're going to pay the money because he's on good wages, big transfer fee, but he's going to leave United. I think Mourinho will make it pretty clear in the next few weeks that he's going to have pretty much no involvement in the team, and I think he'll leave in the last week of August to whoever comes knocking.
Greg, he's still only 28. He's probably at probably the peak of his powers if he was in the right team. It's a bit of a shame what's happening to Juan Mata, isn't it?
Yeah, to some extent, but I still don't think he should have ever come to United. I think in the same way that Rooney's contract was a PR signing for United, I think you remember the state the club were in the January he came from Chelsea. He was just the lowest hanging fruit to try and get morale up. Yeah. Do one for the fans. Popular mm-hmm. player, writes a nice blog. He can do nice things with football.
he does a great blog.
I'm not trying to be facetious, but I mean, he doesn't fit into United's side that I can remember really. He's just a bit lightweight. He's very nice to watch, but I think I can't remember who said it at the time when they actually signed him. But you don't win Premier League titles with a player like Juan Mata on your team. I think it's probably true of Wayne Rooney now as well. And Mata's not a passenger, but I don't know. For me, if you've got a playmaker on that money with that status, it should be like De Bruyne, like Ozil, like players like that. They can cut through a move. They can change the pace of a pass. They can see something that nobody else sees. Mata never quite does that for me. He's like a very high-grade process player. He's almost like Adam Lallana, actually. He's someone that just links the play very well, and he's very slick, and that's very nice. He's quite intelligent, but just for a player of his reputation and his calibre, he doesn't change the pace of games and moves enough for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is the one weakness of Juan Mata. It always has been the weakness of Juan Mata.
And it's the fact that he's Adam Lallana.
And, well, you know, he makes everyone...
I'm going to get destroyed on Twitter after this.
He makes everyone around him, you know, he helps everyone around him play better. He helps the system move better. But he himself is not the catalyst for change. When he was at Valencia, the guy that did that was David Silva. You know, for Spain, he's always just been an impact sub, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, he's obviously was very horribly treated by Mourinho. Mourinho was like, gave it all the, oh, it was about height. And of course, he even told Mata that, and Mata, in classic Mata fashion, smiled and laughed it off. But the fact is, Mkhitaryan is 3 inches taller than Juan Mata. It's a negligible difference, and it was complete nonsense. You know, the greatest trick that Jose Mourinho has ever pulled is convincing the world that he doesn't actually want to sell Juan Mata. He wants to sell Juan Mata.
I'd agree completely. What I was saying earlier about Mourinho having all these games going on, he's got a face for every occasion. He can say a message without actually saying it. I think the same way that I think he's going to sell Wayne Rooney, he's just going to give him enough rope. I think the same thing's happening with Mata. Like, you got to remember, a lot of United fans are very happy that Mourinho's come because he's a born winner, as you said, but he's also got a bit of a image problem as well. A lot of people think he's going to be the end of the club's youth record. He's going to play dour football. He's going to win, but it's not going to be the football people want. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got to be careful. If he sells Mata, he sells all these kids and stuff, and he starts to add to this narrative of Mourinho, the kind of harbinger of doom and veteran 30-year-old players and that. He needs to be careful what he's doing because it can turn on him.
Zlatan said after the Community Shield win, he said that we are at the start of something, big. He's talking that, you know, everyone sort of believes that there's a start of something. Stobes, what would this represent for Manchester United? What are the expectations at a club level or a board level?
They've got to get back into the Champions League. I think that goes without saying. Biggest club in the country. They're set to earn more than £500 million turnover this year. They're going to become the first British club to do it. The main aim is United have to be in the Champions League every season. I think Mourinho's going to get a few years like he did at Chelsea. I think he'll get the first year to build his squad and settle them down, finish in the top four, and then next season he'll be expected to win the title.
That seems fair enough, Greg. I mean, what would the fan expectations be for Manchester United? I mean, there's been some big... They brought in Mourinho, Champions League specialist. They've brought in some big, big players. Ibra obviously hasn't won a Champions League himself, neither has Pogba. But the expectations must be very, very high. Right,
I think they've got to win at least one domestic cup. They've got to get into the Champions League convincingly. They've got to be in the title race. They don't have to win it, but they've got to be in the title race. And they've got to run whoever's in the front runner. They've got to run them very close. Because you don't spend that amount of money. You don't spend the money on Paul Pogba. You don't bring in Mourinho. You don't spend, what was it, 30 million on Eric Bailly. You don't do all these things without having to kind of prove at the end. Look what happened with Van Gaal. He was kind of allowed a year to kind of do all right.
Yeah.
And that kind of set a negative tone that never quite, like, went away from his reign. These days in football, I mean, it's bad. I mean, Fergie had how many years to build the team that he wanted? That doesn't happen anymore. But I think Mourinho, for the money he's spent, if he doesn't almost over-deliver this season,
then there'll be a kind of negativity there that, you know, it might temper the rest of his reign.
Mo, I'm going to send this around the room, but I'll start with you. What are you most looking forward to seeing from Manchester United this season?
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Okay, fair enough. Saw a bit of him on
The man is magic. Yeah, he may not be the player he was. Although that's actually scored 50 goals last season, but he's not the player he was at his peak. But he's magic. He's absolutely magic. He can still produce moments, and the header was amazing. He wasn't in that game. He had no help. He had no support. Very little.
Passenger.
He was doing nothing. I mean, he had no support, and that's fine. But he was a passenger. He was anonymous. Comes up with that header a lot in the 81st minute. Wins the game. You know, amazing celebrations. Eric Bailly, I'm really excited to see his development. I think he's one of the kind of young players that Mourinho will actually trust. I really want to see Martial kick on. He's looked a bit tentative since he come back from the Euros. Didn't have the best tournament. I want to see what happens when he starts to link with Zlatan a bit more. When Rooney finally gets shunted away for Pogba. Obviously, looking forward to Pogba, and then Marcus Rashford, of course.
The big rash. Stobes, Man United. They've gone from 2 years of LVG where we're thinking, oh Christ, this is one hell of a dull team, to all of a sudden there's some seriously exciting players, and with Mourinho there's the potential for serious success as well. What were you looking forward to seeing from them?
I think you've just said it. I'm looking forward to seeing some counter-attacking football, some pace going forward. That's how we remember Manchester United playing under Sir Alex Ferguson. Under David Moyes we had death by crossing under Louis van Gaal.
There were lots of dead.
And then we had death by passing under Louis van Gaal. I think Mourinho's already suggested that United aren't going to have that much possession, which suggests they're going to press, they're going to look to attack quickly, transition quickly. They've got pace, they've got Martial, they've got experience in Ibrahimovic. I want to see United knocking it about, playing at pace and really putting teams to the sword, especially at home. And they should have a really good home record if they're able to do that.
Greg, what's your... I'll give you the last word on this.
Last word then. I mean, following from what Stobe said, I'd like to see death by Pogba.
I think we all would. And if you've seen his Instagram, he's pretty nifty at the old Taekwondo.
Long-range shooting for Zlatan and Pogba is going
that's a good point.
Outrageously good fun.
Get your FIFA saves loaded.
One thing I would say, I mean, you've got two golden boys on the left flank now for United. If they set up how you'd think, you've got Martial on the left wing, you've got Pogba probably on the left side of the midfield.
Three golden boys total with Rooney.
Yeah. what I was going to say, I mean, Luke Shaw's never going to get it because he's a left back, but he's a golden boy of a left back. So you've got a golden boy left flank. That's just going to be... just going to be a steam train of just doom in it.
That needs to be where all of United attacks are. But the same way Barcelona often belt through Dani Alves, Xavi and Lionel Messi, not comparing the two, but that's what Man United need to do.
I am death by Pogba.
Those three, Pogba, Martial, the talent level in those three players is off the charts. It could be very, very fun to watch those three develop as a unit, whether or not United play quote-unquote attacking football.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks to all our guests, especially Mo, for stealing the last word from Greg. I don't think he's ever going to forgive you. Mo Butt, Greg Johnson, Greg Stobart, thank you very much for joining us.
Death by Pogba.
Death by Pogba.
There you go.
Subscribe on iTunes for more Death by Pogba. It's going to be like a Family Guy moment where he just goes, smoke. don't smoke. Subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter. We've got a lot more club previews coming up soon, and obviously the regular Squawker Talker will be back in action when the season starts next Monday. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.